Shabbat Shalom. It's good to see everyone this morning. Always an honor, always a pleasure. How many believe you are where you belong? If you don't, let Pastor Josh tell you, you are where you belong. You belong in him. So thankful that he changed everything. Everything. Everything in my life, down to everything that we're doing. The way our services are going, the things we're partaking in. I'm so thankful that he changed everything. Listen, he knows best. He knows what we need and what we don't need. Better than what we think we know. He knew we needed this change in our life, this shift. And I'm so thankful that he changed it all. So thankful. So we'll go ahead and get started with our Torah teachings, understanding Yah's likes and his dislikes. We're in Torah portion number 22, Vayikel, in his Hebrew 4, and he assembled. In Exodus 35, the Torah readings are Exodus 35, 1 through 38, 20. And the half Torah is 1 Kings 7, 51 through 8, 21. I won't read the weekly Torah Peshat. We'll get back right where we dropped off last night because we got a lot to talk about. We left off talking about Shabbat. And we see how Shabbat is long. There's a lot to say about keeping Shabbat and how we ought to keep it. And when you don't keep it the right way and the correct way, it brings debt to your life, the scripture said. Spiritually, physically, if you want to get technical about it, you're physically dying. If you're not keeping it right like you're supposed to, because when you're not keeping it right, you have no peace. And all that brings all kind of sicknesses to your body. You're worrying about stuff that's not good for you. So yes, you it's definitely killing you. So we'll go ahead and get started. Continue. This is where we left off. As we can see from Scripture, Elohim blessed and set apart the seventh day. Not the first. Not the second, not the third, etc., fourth, fifth, the seventh day. He blessed the seventh day and set it, the seventh day, apart from the rest. Now, if his word said he blessed the seventh day, what in our mind do people think they got the right to say every day is the Sabbath? If he wanted every day to be the Sabbath, he would have said every day is the Sabbath. No, he said, I bless the seventh day. That's the Sabbath. But men, us, we want to say, no, every day is. No, listen. Truly, he blessed every day because it's a blessing just to wake up every day. But this is an appointed day. This is an appointed time. I bless this day for a reason. I didn't bless all these other days for you to think that every day is the Sabbath. No, I blessed one day. That's the Sabbath, the seventh day. And you know what's the craziest part? When you start telling people about it, the first thing they tell you is, oh, I know. How dangerous is that? You know and still not to do it the right way? That's crazy thinking. You know, but? I don't want to know, but. I want to know and do. That's what I want to do. If I know it, I want to do it. Because that's what he says. If you know it, do it. It's best that you don't know it and don't do it. Because if you know it and not to do it, then that you bring that much more trouble on your life. So when people say that, it's like, man, it does something inside. Like, you know, but your butt. It's crazy almost. And not almost, it is. The importance of the Sabbath. Why is the Sabbath so important, you may ask? And does it really matter which day is the Sabbath? Well, to answer that bluntly, yes, It does matter. It matters a great deal, and it is of vital importance for us, and that is what I want to look at, the truth and the validity of the importance of the Sabbath. What makes it a great deal? Because he said it. It's a great deal. It's a great deal to him. If it's a great deal to him, it should be a great deal to us. That's why it's important. It's a very great deal. Why? Because Yehovah said it. And if we can't take his word, whose word are we going to take? If we can't take his serious, whose word are we going to take serious? Because we just sang a song. His word is more precious than gold. More precious than gold. Listen, that's serious. That's serious. So it does matter. It matters to him. Even if it don't matter to you, it matters to him. Let that sink in. We have seen that Yehovah has set apart already in creation week, and it stands firm forever. Not done away with. It stands firm forever. As we each week get to rehearse, what an honor. What a blessing that each week we get to rehearse this. Preparing, because listen, that time's coming that we're going to keep Shabbat. You're going to be almost forced to keep it. He's not forcing you to keep it now. But if you don't keep it, there ain't going to be no rain for you. What did you say? I thought that was only to the appointed times and going up to, well, this isn't appointed time. It's appointed times. No different. When we're going to read it in the script in a little while, as a matter of fact, in Leviticus, when it talks about the appointed times, the Sabbath is the very first one. Then Passover, then weeks, then atonement, then all those in order. Appointed time starts with the Sabbath. What he's telling you, if you can't keep the Sabbath right, you're wasting your time thinking you're keeping all the other ones right. If you can't keep the Sabbath, don't think you're coming to Yom Kippur, you're coming to Passover, now you're doing something, because you ain't doing nothing. The first one is Sabbath. Keep that one right. If you can't keep that one right, you're going to struggle doing all the rest. It stands firm forever as we each week get to rehearse by remembering to keep his Sabbath as it foreshadows our reign with him. And what rehearsal does, it sharpens you. The more you do it, the better you get at it. Just like anything else. When you're rehearsing for a wedding, it still comes with, you can rehearse 2-3 times and you're still going to mess up somewhere because you just get nerves. God, I can promise you. I don't care how many times you rehearse for your wedding. You're going to mess up somewhere in your presentation, your performing, whatever it is. But rehearsing gets you better at it. The more you do it, the better you get at it. Listen, the more you keep Shabbat, if you keep it regular, you have no problem with coming on Friday night and Saturday morning. You love to. You love to. It's not, oh, Friday's here already. No. Friday ain't here yet. That's what I'm thinking. Friday's not here yet. It's only Monday. But just how important is the Sabbath? What is the significance of us getting it right? What's the significance of us getting it right? For many, it seemingly does not matter which day is the Sabbath. And that's the truth. It don't matter for a lot. It doesn't matter to the world what day is the Sabbath. But it matters to him what day is the Sabbath. Because he created it. We didn't create it, first of all. We didn't create it. He blessed it. I didn't bless it. He blessed it. So yes, it matters. And they erroneously regard every day as a Sabbath. But is that what Scripture says? No. Nope. But that's what they say. So your word trumps God's word. That's what you're telling me? That's what maybe our conversation should be, so that's what you're telling me, that your word trumps his word? You're saying every day is the Sabbath. He's saying, no, one day is the Sabbath. Not every day. Scripture is clear that it is the seventh day, not the first, second, or third, or any other day, but the seventh. In the hearing of the 10 words, commonly known today as the 10 Commandments, it is clear that the Sabbath is set apart from the rest of the week. And the direct command is to remember it and to set it apart. A direct command. Listen. This is just something, Brother Scott brought it to my attention. I did a little job for the same company he's working for. And one of the guys that was on the boat yesterday morning with him, I drove him out many, 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 many times when I was working for Hillcore. And this is just a story that just kind of remembers, goes with the message. How you have to stand for something. If not, you fall for anything. And obviously it made an impact on his life because he remembered it. He told Brother Scott, they were just having a conversation, that he said, your brother said that if they would ever make him go 7-7, he was quitting. He's a man of his word. And it does something to him because he remembered that. And, not, oh, me, I'm something. No, I'm nothing. But if he commanded me to do something, I want to make sure that's being salt and light. He's going to remember that. That's a commandment, and that I don't know if he called me Brother Josh or not. He probably called me Captain Josh. That Captain said that if they ever made him go 7-7, he was quitting. If they would have kept him 5-2, he'd probably still be working. He's not lying. It's the truth. But just for him to have that thought in his mind that he's a man of his word, a man of Yehovah's word, not of my word. I'm a man of his word. Big difference. Because it ain't my word that say, hey, you got to honor the Sabbath. It's his word that says honor the Sabbath. And I'm not bending it for no one or anybody. Nor am I compromising. Does that mean you lose things on the way? Absolutely. And you have to be okay with it. You have to be okay with it. He knows. He knows your future. You don't know your future. You try to plan your future and it never works out the way you plan it, ever. He knows it. Let him guide you. But when he mentioned that to me yesterday, it does something to me because the young guy remembered that. He remembered that. It's a commandment, and it is to remember it and to set it apart. Set the whole day apart, not just some of it, but the whole day, as in a whole 24-hour period, or rather from sunset to sunset. The whole day, set it apart. Look at the following verses from the account of the hearing of the 10 words. Exodus 20, 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day to set it apart. 6 days you labor and shall do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath of Yehovah your Elohim. You do not do any work. 6 days labor, and you shall do all your work. Make sure it's done in 6 days. Don't think he give you this day as a bonus. Say, well, he understand. No, he doesn't understand. There's only one thing he says he understand. If your ox is in the ditch or your friend's ox is in the ditch, big difference. If the ox is not in the ditch, don't put him in the ditch. If he ain't there, don't put him in there. You do not do any work. You, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. Clear. Anybody working for you? Don't make them work on the Sabbath. I know it's hard. I know it's difficult. But can he not provide for you? Can he not make sure to meet all your needs? If you're honoring this, he said he will. If you're honoring it correctly. Can anybody outgive him? No. Negative. Nobody can outgive him. But you have to do it according to his way. Not my way, not your own way, his way. So just think if, you know, don't say, well, I'm not doing it. If you got somebody else doing it for you, you're still breaking it. Because he says, your. He said it like four times, maybe five. You count. For in 6 days, Yehovah made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, Yehovah blessed the seventh day and set it apart. Notice what he made in 6 days. All the things he made in 6 days. And you can't get enough work in 6 days. You try to make the sea and the earth. Please try and let me know how that comes out. If you can do it in 6 days. I want to see it. We can't even draw it in 6 days. Like he made it. Huh? Come on now. 6 days. Get it all done in 6 days. As you will notice that in the terms of the 10 words commonly known to us as the 10 commandments, this 4th commandment regarding the Sabbath is the longest of the 10. You think it's important. You think that's why he had it first in all his appointed times, his set apart gatherings. The longest one. Why? Because he knew we would struggle with this one. He knew we would struggle with it. The longest of the 10 spoken to an entire nation. An entire nation. In the original King James translation into English, look how many words is there. This command contained 97 words. 97. I would think that's very important. 97 of them. And that in itself ought to tell you the significance of this day. This was and always is to be a day of rest and a day set apart unto Elohim. Always was and always will be. Meaning when you and I are gone, it's still the seventh day. It is still a command. No work is to be done on this day. No work for you or your servants or your animals or for any stranger or foreigner within your gates. This is a day of rest from your weekly labor. That is that which earns you wages and keep. This is a day set apart for us to rest in Him, Yehovah Elohim, as we see from Leviticus 23:2-3. In speaking of his appointed times and set apart gatherings, we see clearly the first of these is in fact the weekly Sabbath. If you have a Bible in front of you, turn to Leviticus 23 and just look at the order. Don't take my word for it. It's the very first one out of all his appointed time. And listen, those appointed times, Passover, first fruits, Shavuot, all those are very significant and very important to our lives. But the Sabbath is the first one, the very first one. Leviticus 23, verse 2 and 3. Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the appointed times of Yehovah, which you are to proclaim as set apart gatherings, my appointed times are these. 6 days work is done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest, a set apart gathering. You do no work. It is a Sabbath to Yehovah in all your dwellings. It's a Sabbath to Him. Sabbath is a day of rest from your daily work, but that does not mean you hide out and sleep it any, all away. It away. That's not keeping the Sabbath. I'm asleep for 24 hours. You sleep for 24 hours, you have a problem. If you're sleeping for 24 hours, you have a problem. Something wrong with you, because that ain't normal. I'm going to let you know. Not normal. You might want to get that checked. I don't know what they want to, what diagnose they're going to diagnose you with, but it's going to be something. You might want to, you know, go see a doctor or something. That ain't normal for you to sleep 24 hours. It does not mean you hide out and sleep it away. No. What it says, it is to be proclaimed. There's a difference between resting and sleeping 24 hours. Big difference. Don't get it twisted. While I'm resting, Pastor. No, you're not resting, brother. Not for 24 hours. That means we as the body of Messiah are to have a set apart gathering unto Yehovah in all our dwellings. Meaning when you go home, you have a set apart gathering in your dwelling. And you don't have to invite the whole church. That's not what he's saying. I know some people who like that. They want to bring candles this big by your house. I ain't going to say no name. That was a little joke from last Shabbat. Brother Scott and them came over with the candle fighting. But look, in your dwellings, what if it's just you and your wife, you and your family, you and your kids? That's a set apart gathering. It says where two or three are gathered, he's in the midst. It didn't say 40. It says 2 or 3. He's there in your midst. So that means we as the body of Messiah are to have a set apart gathering unto Yehovah in all our dwellings. Where 2 or 3 are gathered, there he is in the midst of them. All you need is just 2 of y'all. And he's in your midst. Listen, you say, what if I'm by myself? He's right there with you. So that's 2. He's in your midst. If you think you're alone, you're not. Because he's there with you. First of all, he gives you set apart spirit, he said. How can you go wrong? You got his set apart spirit. He's in your midst. Set apart gathering. In your dwellings. Just you. Sometimes that's when it's most powerful. It's when it's just you. You begin to have weeping moments and don't even know why you're weeping when it's just you. You don't have to take 4 or 5 people to see you crying. You know, like he's doing something for you. No, it's just you. You get alone and watch. He'll pour it upon you to where you can't contain yourself. Ask Moshe. He was by himself on that mountain and his face aglowing. He didn't have the whole nation up on the mountain with him. He had just him. So sometimes just seek that just you and him moment. Don't invite an entourage. Don't invite a crowd. Just you and him. This is a day when we get to spend. That's what he wants to do for us on Shabbat. He wants to pour it on you. When you're just you and him by yourself. This is a day when we get to spend intimate quality time with our Maker. Intimate and quality time. How important is that? It's more important than when you just want to be just you and your spouse. And that's important that you get to spend that time with each other. Intimate and quality time with your spouse. Very important. But it don't scratch the surface of that intimate and quality time that he wants just you and him. With our Maker, and as his bride, we get to engage in fellowship together as a bride who is preparing herself with her betrothed husband. The point is that the Sabbath will always be the Sabbath. Always be the Sabbath. and will never change. And so we had better get in line with the Creator's reckoning of time or else. Ain't gonna change. We either get on board or get left behind. We either get on that train that he's the locomotive pulling this thing, or you left behind. We either get on time with his reckoning or else. When looking at the word Shabbat, Strong's 876-76, in the ancient pictograph text, we recognize the importance of our proper observance of his Sabbaths, as we see the following being rendered in the pictograph letters. The Shin. This is the letter Shin, which in the ancient script is pictured as two front teeth, and carries the meaning of sharp or press, chew or devour, which is what the teeth do, and also speaks of the sharpening word that comes forth from the mouth as the teeth chew or meditate on the truth, making what comes forth pure and sharp. It also carries the understanding of consuming or destroying as teeth do to food. Listen, if you meditate on him for 24 hours for Shabbat, you think that your words are going to be sharpened for the week coming up ahead? If you meditating and you resting on him, you let him deposit what needs to be deposited for your week coming up? Because listen, you don't know what that week holds. None of us know the future. None of us know an hour ahead of time, much less days. But he knows. That's why he's saying when you resting on Shabbat, when you meditating on me and meditating on my word, when that week comes, your word is going to be sharper. Something's going to happen and you're not going to react a way that you react if you're not meditating on this day. You're not honoring this day. You're not resting in him. You're not keeping it like you should. You know what you're going to do? You're going to consume and you're going to destroy. That's what you're going to do. You're not going to be an encouragement to nobody. You will discourage somebody. But when you're taking the proper actions on keeping his Shabbat and you're letting him do what he does, your week ahead of you, you're going to be sharp. You're going to be sharp. The Bet. The ancient script has this letter, as with pictures, a tent floor plan. It means house or tent. It represents family and the importance of those who are inside the tent as opposed to the tent structure itself. The Tav. The ancient script has this letter, as which is pictured as two cross sticks, and can represent for us seal, covenant, mark, or sign, as this once again points to the complete work of Messiah in the renewal of the covenant of his blood and brings the two houses of Yisrael and Yehuda together in him as one. For he is not only the Aleph, but is also the Tav, the beginning and the end of all creation. The beginning and the end of all creation. As we consider these pictographs, we can see from the rendering of the word Shabbat, Strong's 876-76, in the ancient pictograph lettering the following: the word of the house is sealed. What did that mean? What does this mean? It doesn't change. You can't change it. We can't change it. The world can't change it. It is sealed. And when it is sealed by Yehovah, there's nothing anybody can say or do to change it. It's like a signet ring of the king. When those letters went out back in those days, it was sealed. It has been sealed by the signet ring of the king. And it ain't going to change. It ain't done away with. It is forever. It remains forever. The word of the house is sealed. Verse 3. Look how long Shabbat was. That was a lot of slides for Shabbat. Almost two services. Verse 3. Do not kindle a fire on the Sabbath. And I kind of spoke about this a little bit because it goes all over. I was listening to a teaching again this morning about a certain sect of Jews They would be sitting at Shabbat table. They call it Shabbat table, just I guess at their table in their house. Or they might have a set apart Shabbat table. Anyway, if the lights went out, they sat in the dark the rest of the night. Yeah. They sat in the dark for the rest of the night. He says, the icebox food would be spoiling. They would not do nothing. Listen, how about I say if we just try our best? We pray that he opens up our eyes, give us understanding, and we try our best to do what it's saying to us. And if not, at the end of the day, when Yeshua returns, he will clarify everything all up for us. He will clarify it up for us. But that's how it goes. That's how strict this. Do not kindle the fire on the Shabbat. Can I say, well, we kindling the fire on Shabbat? Because they even mentioned this in the teaching, how some of the rabbinical Jews started saying a prayer that they would start praying that it's a command that Yehovah said the command to light the menorah on Shabbat. It's called a takanot, man-made laws. They just kept saying it enough over and over and over that they believed it. It's not a command to light that. But they were saying, well, you know, because back in the day, when it's kindling the fire, it took work. They didn't have, you know, they didn't pray. It wasn't no pressing a button. You had to get stones, wood, and they actually had to work in order to set the fire, to kindle the fire. They said nowadays, well, we just got this. It's not really work, just pressing a button. But some people would say, well, you just kindle the fire on Shabbat. You lit it. So many ideas out there. So many. We're just going to do our best. Do not kindle a fire on the Shabbat. Whatever that means to you, whatever you praying and asking Yehovah, just give me understanding because help me. We want to do it right. But when he comes, he's going to straighten all this nonsense out for us. So just do your best. Whatever's moving in your heart, if you feel it that you shouldn't be doing this at your house, then by all means, nobody's going to say you wrong or right. It's up to you. But listen, it's out there and it's crazy and it's the thing. And even with the vehicle, like I mentioned last night, wouldn't even drive. Here, this was a literal command. If you remember, Aharon started a fire to make a golden calf, which brought a whole lot of trouble. And the emphasis on resting on the Sabbath is stressed further, as much of the work done for the tabernacle will require the use of fire. And so we see that this command continues to make clear that no regular work is to be done on the Sabbath, not even the building of the tabernacle. And I wish I could remember one statement he made about lighting. Because he broke it down into like three different things. You light it, then you light it and maintain it. And I don't know, it's a good little teaching in what he was talking about. And it's Nehemiah Garden. We heard Pastor mention him a few times that, if you want to watch him and Keith Johnson, he's got a teaching on. Well, a discussion, him, Keith, and some other man. And it's really, really good. It makes a lot of sense. There were men who would have been assigned to gather and prepare the wood and start the fires, and they too should rest. The Hebrew word translated as kindle is the root word ba'ar. And listen, by all means, when we light it on Friday night, if you want to sleep here to make sure it don't go out and keep burning for us till we come back, hey, I will bring you a blanket and a pillow. You don't even have to provide it. I will provide it for you to make sure that that's still burning when we come back on Saturday morning. If y'all want to. I'm all for it. It's up to you. I'll let you decide. There were men who would have been assigned to gather and prepare the wood and start the fires as they too should rest. The Hebrew word translated as kindle is the root word ba'ar, Strong's H1197, meaning to burn, consume, kindle, and destroy. When mentioning that no fires are to be made in all dwellings, the same thinking applies here when coming to the Sabbath. By the time we get to the Sabbath, our work must be complete. When we get to the Sabbath, our work must be complete. So if another statement he made, you can tie in kindling, don't kindle the fire in your dwelling, because the very first verse 2 talks about that, no, don't do no work. It took work to kindle a fire back then. You got to listen to his teaching. If I'll send it to you if you want it. He explains a lot better than what I can. By the time we get to the Sabbath, our work must be complete. Sabbath is not the time to start running around and preparing, as it should have all been done. And if you have been slacking in your preparation, then you go without. Anybody ever went without before? You know, something you didn't prepare, and you say, oh, well, I'll just do without it. I've done it many a times. You forgot something, I'll do without it. No different than this. You do without it. It's only for a short period of time. Get your work done so that you can relax in what you already have. And listen, we have a lot, a whole lot. If we ain't got rice cooked, it's okay. Because I'm sure we can pull something out the pantry to hold me over until Shabbat's over. I'm more than positive. We have a lot. A lot. When looking at Yaakov, James 3, where he tells us that the tongue is a fire, we can also take from this a figurative meaning as well, especially in light of the verse quoted above from Yeshayahu, Isaiah 58, which says that we should not be speaking our own words on Shabbat. Oh boy. About to get deep. I don't want nobody getting mad at me. Let's just see what it says before you throw a brick at me right here. We would do well to watch what we say and how we say it. How you say it. The Sabbath is not a day to be debating over one's own ideas and thoughts. It's not to be debating on what you think should be doing, you or that one should be doing, or what that one's not doing, and what you're doing. Remember that glass of water? If you're looking at your water and your cup, you're not worrying about what anybody else is thinking or saying. Should not be a debate over one's ideas and thoughts that are in no way related to the word. For in doing so, the danger of opening up the chances of verbal battles on the Shabbat becomes a possibility. Becomes a possibility. It's almost guaranteed that a verbal battle will start. You can almost guarantee it. James 3, 5 through 8. So too, the tongue is a little member, yet boasts greatly. See how a little fire kindles a great forest. And the tongue is a fire, the world of unrighteousness among our members. The tongue is set, the one defiling the entire body. This little bitty old thing in your mouth defiles the entire body. Doesn't even have a muscle. and the one that do the most damage. Think about it. You think your biceps and your big old hands, your knuckles is the one that's doing the most damage? No, it's your tongue. Defiles the whole body. You know it takes longer for, if you say something to somebody, for that to heal than if you slap them in the face or punch them in the eye? It takes longer for this to heal? What you tell them? Your words matters. Your words mean things. I think some people would rather you punch them than tell them something that'll hurt their feelings. It takes a long time to get over that. Defiling the entire body and setting on fire the wheel of life. And it is set on fire by Gehenna. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature, of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man is able to tame the tongue. You are not able to tame your tongue. That's what Yaakov is saying. That's what James is saying. Where he's getting it from? Yehovah. That's what Yehovah is saying. You can't even tame your own tongue. It is unruly, evil, and filled with deadly poison. Yep. Your tongue. My tongue. It's the only way to kind of watch it. Meditate on the word. Chew and devour the word. Rest in him on Shabbat. Where he can tame it coming up for the week ahead. Because he says you're not able to tame it. Not even on your best day are you able to tame it. Because I can promise you, you will say something that you shouldn't say. It's a guarantee you're going to say something that you shouldn't have said. Always happens. What this is implying here is not that we do not speak. Because some people get on that pendulum, swing over, and well, I just ain't going to say nothing at all. Yeah, well, you walk around here being mute and see how long that's going to last. Please, I want to see you try it. You ain't going to last 10 minutes. Remember we used to play that game? Let first one speaks or whatever, he's got to do something, money, candy, whatever it is. Quiet time, whatever, I don't know. I just remember it being played when we was little. And they still do it now. It's like we pass it on to our kids. It don't last 2 minutes. They done said something. Never works. You talking about I ain't going to say nothing. I'm just going to be, okay, yeah. Oh, yeah. Ain't going to happen. But rather that we do not allow our discussion to go off into matters regarding our weekly activities or work that can or may lead to strife and contentions breaking out. In other words, the Sabbath is not a time to be discussing business or even strategies for growth. And it is certainly not a time to be speaking negative words or accusative words against others. Oh boy. Definitely not a time to be talking about people. And others means others. Not just your brother and sister in the church. That don't make it okay for you to be talking about your cousin or your uncle or a family member or a friend. Oh, I'm not talking about my brother or sister. I'm not, what's the word? No, not gossiping. Lashon Hara. I'm not doing no Lashon Hara. Yeah, you are. You're talking about someone. Others. Includes everybody. The Sabbath is the set apart day of Yehovah, where we delight in Him and focus our thoughts and attentions purely on Him without getting distracted into thinking of what we will do tomorrow or the next week, but delight in embracing His Word and Torah for our lives. Now, does that mean that a thought would not come up? Absolutely. It will come up. But you don't have to dwell on it for hours of what you're going to do next week or tomorrow. It's going to come up. A thought will come up. You don't just have to elaborate on it for a long period of time. Get our focus back on Him. So practically speaking, we ought to guard ourselves from engaging in topics of discussion that may involve our tendency to think about what needs to be done outside of Shabbat, and in the process neglect the pure matters of delighting in His Word that refreshes us and equips us to build His kingdom. The Greek word for kingdom in the Septuagint translation of the Tanakh is kaeo, Strong's G2545. Which means burn, kindle, and light. And we see this word being used in Luke 12:35-36. Let your loins be girded and your lamps burning, and be like men waiting for their master when he shall return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they open to him immediately. When we see this clear instructions to have our lamps continually burning, I see another aspect of this command to not kindle a fire on Shabbat. And that is that we are to be a people who are continually keeping our lamps burning day and night. Many people go about their daily business each and every day and do not shine the light of the truth, as their loins are not girded about with truth. Yet when it comes to Shabbat, they quickly light the fire of a so-called urgent faith that appears to be obedient. Yet the fruit of their lives during the other 6 days proves otherwise. Listen, if your light's not burning the other 6 days, don't think that you're going to put it on Friday night and Saturday morning and think you're doing something. Because you're not. It says your light needs to be continually burning. Listen, you can fool us, but you can't fool Him. He knows. He knows if your light was burning all week long, your 6 days, or if you're just trying to put it on, hurry up and light it for Friday night, probably blowing it out as soon as you get out of here. And then we'll relight it on Saturday morning, on Shabbat morning. Quickly light the fire of a so-called urgent faith that appears to be obedient, yet the fruit of their lives during the other 6 days proves otherwise. Fruit tells. Fruit tells. Fruit gets rotten. Fruit gets soft, brown, turns color. It's not fresh. Your lives tells on you. Fruit tells. It'll tell how fresh you are. It'll tell if you got worms, pesticides, to all those things. The Sabbath is not a time to come and put on a show and act like you have been walking in the Torah. Oh boy. It's not what this is. This is not a game to Him. It's not what He meant when He says rehearse. It's not putting on a show. It means something to Him. Don't act like you've been walking in His Torah Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. When you have it, Friday. By quickly lighting the fire of all the right words in worship that would make one look spiritual. Our lamps are to be burning continually. And it is on the Sabbath that we get to bring our lamps collectively together. Remember last night? Bring your tabernacle to the tabernacle. Bring it. Because listen, truth be told, sometimes our light do get a little dim. It's called life. Things happen. Sometimes the wind is blowing a little hard in someone's life. But when you bring yours, that you've been having a good week, and you standing on side the person that's light just a little bit dim, and yours is bright, 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 it'll ignite theirs. It'll bring a little illumination to theirs. It'll help them. Listen, it's bigger than just you. It's bigger than just me. What we read scripture last night, the concern for others. They might have had a tough week. Their light ain't so bright. And you had a perfect week, so you think. Let's just say you had a good week. Let's not even say perfect. You had a good week. So when all y'all's are light, bright, 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 let's think about the one that's had a struggle, a tough week, that they just is just barely lit. Listen, but the wick is lit. It's lit. It's not out. Our lamps are to be burning continually. And it's on the Sabbath that we get to bring our lamps collectively together. And let the light of his truth bring forth encouragement, refreshment to us as a people girded about with his truth. Verse 4. And Moshe spoke. Again, we see another verse that simply solidifies how important the Torah of Yehovah is. For it is through the Torah that we receive the commands of Elohim. And if we are not given our ear to hearing of the Torah, we simply cannot know his clear instructions, as well as the realization that even our prayers are an abomination before him. Oh, boy. Not keeping his Torah, of hearing his clear instructions, he says, your prayers are an abomination to me. He ain't trying to hear them. Can I say you're wasting your breath? You say, well, that's kind of hard. You telling me I'm wasting my breath? But that's what he says. He says, your prayer is an abomination to me because you ain't keeping my commands. You ain't keeping my Torah. You don't know my likes or my dislikes. You don't know what I love or what I hate. Proverbs 28, verse 9. He who turns away his ear. This is Yehovah. This is not me. I'm not telling you your prayers are abomination. He's telling you. He who turns away his ear from hearing the Torah, even his prayer is an abomination. I went in here and I put these footnotes. Because they say, well, that's, you know, especially the, you know, people that's just New Testament, don't want to get into the old, the Torah, the Tanakh. Look where you can find it at. Job 15, 29. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. And John 9, 31. In 1 John 3, 22, no excuses. You can find it. It's in the front of the book and the back. It's in both sections of his word. And I don't want to, I don't know if anyone of us in here want our prayers to be an abomination. So listen, we go faithfully before him when we're in need. When we want something. Healing. We need healing. A family member needs deliverance. Be careful who you even ask to be praying for you on your behalf. Sad to say, but you better make sure you've got you a Torah keeper. Because he says if he who turns away from the hearing of the Torah, even his prayer is an abomination. So that's telling me I want to make sure somebody's following the Torah that I'm going to ask for prayer. Because the ones that's not following the Torah, he ain't hearing them. Is it that serious? Yep. Absolutely. Is that serious? Once again, when is the Torah heard in the assembly? Every Shabbat. Every Shabbat, the Torah is heard in the assembly. I like that statement. That which Yehovah has commanded. Commanded does not mean suggested or requested, but commanded. He's not suggesting you read Torah every Shabbat. He's not requesting that you do it. He's commanding that you read it every Shabbat. So what that's telling y'all, we're going to be doing it every Shabbat. I'm not even going to say you either like it or you don't. I hope you like it. I hope you love it, not like it. You got to love it. You got to love the Torah. So yeah, this is what we're going to do. Why? Because we're not breaking his commandment. For no one or nobody. Remember, position is everything. And you don't give it up for no one or no or anything. Nobody. You don't give it up. And we're going to hold on to this position. It's our position to be reading you the Torah every Shabbat. So come with a smile on your face to love it. Because we're going to do it, everyone. Until he returns. Because guess what you're going to be doing when he returns? What you think Yeshua is going to be teaching? What you going to tell him? I don't want to hear that this week? Yeah, I dare you. Boy, I want to be there when you man enough to say that. Not Torah again. We still talking about keeping the Sabbath? Yeah. It's not a suggestion, it's a commandment. The Hebrew word that is translated as commanded comes from the root word savah, Strong's 86680, which means to lay charge upon, give charge to, command, order, appoint, and give a command. We have been savah. We have been laid a charge upon. We have been given a charge to. And we have been commanded and ordered and appointed and given a command to do the Torah every Shabbat. We have been savad. And it is very clear that what was being instructed were not something to be considered as a great suggestion, but were to be carefully heeded, lest they forget what they hear and find themselves on the wrong side of Elohim. Listen, that's not a good side to be on. You find yourself on the wrong side of him, you in trouble. Serious trouble. What he said? You either line up with his word, creation, or you're left behind. You get on this train or you're left behind. It's not a suggestion, and you don't want to end up on the wrong side. Because not doing it, that's where you're going to end up, on the wrong side of Elohim. Listen, when we take pictures, you say, oh, this is my good side. You don't want to end up on his bad side. Because there is blessings and cursings. Let's not forget. That would be the bad side. Today, there are far too many people who claim that they are believers. Yet they lay aside the commands of Elohim. As if they are not important or necessary. And this sadly reveals their lack of a proper love for the truth and the truth giver. Their lack of a proper love for the truth. You have to love the truth. If you don't love the truth, you're not loving the truth giver. 1 John 5:3. For this is the love for Elohim. To do what? That we guard his commands. And his commands are not heavy. His commands are not heavy. And we all witnessed that firsthand. How much freedom was in this. We didn't even realize how much bondage we was in until we started doing his Torah. We had no clue. Year after year after year after year, we was in bondage. And we can testify that it was freedom. So much freedom when we started doing his Torah. In so many ways. So many aspects of our lives. It's not heavy. The Greek word used for commands is entole, Strong's G1785, which means an injunction, an order, a command or commandment, and speaks of a prescribed rule in accordance with which a thing is done, and is ethically used in Greek to relate to the commands of Elohim as given in the Torah. This word is used 187 times in the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Tanakh, or the Old Testament, and is used to translate the Hebrew words, the mitzvah, Strong's H4687, which means commandment, command, obligation, and precept. The Pikud, Strong's H6490, which means precepts, commandments, statutes, and regulations, and the Hukah, Strong's H2708, which means ordinances, custom, manner, something prescribed, and enactment, statute, and fixed order. Which simply reaffirms for us the clear truth given here by Yohanan, even in the Greek text, and that is that we was to guard, that he was to guard, to command the commands, precepts, instructions, and ordinance of Elohim, blamelessly and spotless, as we express our true ardent and zealous love for Elohim. What Moshe speaks, that is what the Torah says, we are to take heed of and guard to do what it instructs. If we want to be about building the tabernacle which we are. If you want to be building your tabernacle, you got to build it according to how his Torah tells you. Moshe had to build the tabernacle. Listen, if you go on down, and if you read the whole, this Torah portion, and you got to chapter 40, you see that the presence of Yehovah was so powerful when they did it the right way, they couldn't even stand being in there. Think about that experience. We need to be praying towards that experience. Help us to be this living tabernacle that you call us to be, living in according to your command, because I want to feel your presence that strong on my life to where I can't even contain it. They couldn't even, in chapter 40, it was just powerful. Same thing for us. Let his Torah tell us how to live our lives, how to build this tabernacle for him. Verses 5 through 19, take up a contribution, materials for the tabernacle. Here, Moshe calls for a contribution to Yehovah from everyone whose heart moves them. Listen, we can ask till we blue in the face to bring contributions, but if your heart don't move you, you're always going to want to give what you want to give and not what he's asking you to give. Because sometimes what he asks you to give is way above than what you want to give. I mentioned this about two Shabbats ago. Remember, you know, I did the little dollar bill and the $20 bill. And you don't want to give the $100 bill. So much easier to give you a $5. It's a contribution. Listen, they was bringing all what he gave to them when he got them out of Egypt. It was him that gave them all the silver and gold. They didn't have none of that. Their neighbors had all of that. The Egyptians had all of that. He said, but when you leave, go get it. They gave it to him. Freely was giving it to him. Gave it all to him because they were scared of the dog. They were scared of the dog. He turned the light switch off on them. They wanted them people out of there. Go hit the switch, Brother Chad. Give me all your monies. I just wanted to see if it worked. Here Moshe calls for a contribution to Yehovah from everyone whose heart moves them. Listen, your heart has to move you. If your heart don't move you, you ain't giving it. Simple. You not giving it. Or you're going to give the least. You ain't going to give what he want, what he's asking you to give if your heart ain't moving you. Eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to want to know you more. When your heart moves you, look what it does for you. The contribution was over and above the requirements of the tithes that are commanded. They was given so much, you had to tell them to stop. What a great problem to have. Instead of us begging to give. But what's so incredible, this was never talked about in here, ever. Never talked about tithes, never talked about contribution. The Torah tells you to do it. We ain't got to mention it. You following his, it'll tell you to do it. But it's also up to you. About your heart situation, or how you going to do it. The Hebrew word that is used here in Terumah, Strong's H8641, and is translated as contribution, offering for set apart use, voluntary contribution, and comes from the primitive root room, Strong's H7311, which means to be high, exalted, rise, raised, and set apart. And so we see this which was called for was that which was to be given or raised up and given for a set apart use. And it was to be given as a voluntary offering. This offering was not commanded, but all by all, but was called for by all whose heart would move them. A voluntary offering. This contribution was to be taking up, which comes from the root word lachah, Strong's H3947, which means to lift up, accept, accept it, bring, and receive. Listen, because he gave them all that gold and silver for a reason. But Aharon and the people decided to take it and wanted to make a golden calf out of it. But that wasn't the reason why he gave them the gold and silver. That's why this is being told to them again. Because you made a mistake. You got to build it for my tabernacle. There's meaning and reasoning behind giving your contributions. And Yehovah knows the reason and the meaning behind giving your contribution, your tithes, and your voluntary offerings. It's not what you want to do with it. It's not what Aharon and the people wanted to do with it. It's what Yehovah gave it to them for to do with it. Strong's H3947, which means to lift up, accept, accept it, bring and receive. And also means marries, married, and often is used in terms of the bride of Messiah, who is accepted and taken up by him as he receives her to himself. When one links this thought process of a bride bringing her contribution to her husband, then we surely are to be encouraged to give gladly from our hearts, as that will result in an overflowing attitude of giving over and above that which is required. This is exactly how we, the bride, are to be in our giving freely and gladly to the building of his kingdom. 2 Corinthians 9:7. Let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not of grief or of necessity, for Elohim loves a joyous giver. Don't give it in grief. Oh, I got to give it again. That's grief. Oh, I wonder what it's going for. That's grief. Don't give it. Give it joyous. Thank you, Father, for giving it to me that I'm able to give back to you. Thank you for it. I didn't have it yesterday. You gave it to me. Oh, last week. You gave me the ability to go and get it. You gave me the health, the strength, the breath in my lungs. You gave me all that. I'm going to give it to you joyously, not in grief. Why? Because that's what he loves. I love what you love and hate what you hate. He loves a joyous giver. You got to love giving it joyously. What we ought to understand is that this giving is above the requirements of the tithe. And so what we often see is that so many are already in the giving of their tithes doing reluctantly and grudgingly. And so are unable to even be in the position of bringing a joyful contribution. If you're struggling with paying tithes, you ain't bringing a joyous contribution. You can forget it. Because that's the first thing you're going to say is, that is my contribution. That is my voluntary contribution. I'm paying my tithes. So if you're struggling with tithe paying, you ain't doing this. You can forget it. It is. Ain't coming out your pocket. You keeping them. All your monies. You ain't giving him none. I'm giving you enough already, Yehovah. That's basically what you're telling him. I'm giving you enough already. And when he decides to shut the valve off of his giving, you're boo-hooing crocodile tears. 5 minutes already? No, I'm just playing. I've been watching my clock. It's been a little while. But it goes by fast. But listen, yeah, you crying. You want to call pastor. You want to call this one. You want to call that one because you're going through it. You wouldn't be going through it if you would have gave joyously. On top of voluntarily. Because trust me, he can shut the valve off on you quick. He will remind you who's the one providing for you. He'll let you know, I'm your provider. You're not your provider. You might think you're your provider, but trust me, you're not. Son, daughter. He get your mind quick, right? Like you do your kids, you get their mind right quick. When you shut that valve off on them, they remember who's their provider. Yeah, Lord. Whew, let me get back to my slide. I got 5 minutes. What we ought to understand is that this giving is above the requirements of the tithe. And so what we often see is that so many are already in giving of their tithes, doing so reluctantly and grudgingly, and so are unable to even be in the position of bringing a joyful contribution. That goes above and beyond that which is clearly required. Clearly required, clearly a command to give you tithes. What we see from what follows is that it is not only linked to monetary means, but also speaks of that which you have in terms of physical means. Let's talk about that just for a little bit. Physical means. Everybody passes and passes down this highway and pulls up in here 3 times a week. Physical means. Let's talk. Grass. You see it? Trash in the yard. You see it? Trash cans need to be brought to the road. You see it? It's not all about just giving him the money and think you're doing something. He's saying you can't even do the physical right, then your money's don't even matter to me. Listen, how many say that you have to do everything? Everything matters. It's not my job. Or that one to do it. Cleaning. All those things. Physical means. You don't want just your money, you want your time. It takes time to keep this place like it should be. Like he requires it. This place, listen, you don't want it looking like a pig pen. You want him to dwell in this place? He wants it to be perfect. Spick and span. You don't want your yard to look like that. Why you think, what makes you think you can have his yard looking like that? Your yard is not even your yard, it's his yard. Let's just get that straight. Your yard is his yard. It ain't even yours. Physical means. I ain't got no time. You lie. I'm going to tell you you lie. We got plenty time. Plenty. So much time, we don't even know what to do with it. I'm bored. Huh. Yeah. You bored. You ain't that busy. You ain't that busy. That's not, you can, an hour, you can get a lot done in an hour over here at this place. A lot. It don't even take you a whole hour to weed eat everything around here. Even that yard over there. Yeah, I know. I'm not fussing at the elders. Y'all did your part. Fussing at us young ones. I'm going to just clarify that. Quick, new CD. Oh, man. I'm going to stop right here. All physical means necessary. We just stop right here with the grass cutting and the cleaning. Amen? Perfect stop. He's good to us. He loves us. He cares about us. He wants the best for us. He wants his place that looks the best. If I want him to dwell in this place, I better do my part and make sure it's a place that he wants to come and dwell in. He don't want to dwell in no slot and no pig pen. Amen. What an honor. I hope y'all enjoyed it because I did. It's good. It is good. We'll finish up on Wednesday night. Let's stand. Anybody got any prayer requests?